He's not getting bored with the checkdowns. I mean, I love that against Jacksonville. You know, I think these quarterbacks, it's harder for them. They want to make these big-time throws down the field. But Tom Brady's going to go in the Hall of Fame and be known as the greatest quarterback of all time because you know what he did? For 20 years, just took what the defense gave him and did the smart, right thing with the football. And you're seeing in the Jacksonville game, they're dialing up play-action passes. Jacksonville's taking away the deep stuff. And Josh Allen checks it down to James Cook on 1st and 10 on a play-action pass. He gets 17 yards. There's nothing boring about that at all. That's good offense. That's smart.
Joe Marino on our morning show today. Can you hear me? Yes. Okay. Now I can. I want to be able to hear myself. Not always impressed, but.
I find these things to be helpful. Hearing you and hearing myself. Pretty key.
Getting connected with the fans brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here, reachable at 803-0550. Fun times for Bills fans, 3-0, at the Ravens, at the Diggses, at the Jets in the next three. Am I slighting C.J. Stroud? Patrick is on WGR. Hello, Patrick.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
I just want to preface this call by saying, you know, the time that Diggs was here, I'm really grateful for it. It was a lot of fun having, like, an elite, true number one receiver. He was tremendously productive. So there's really no sour grapes with him leaving. But I wonder if he sort of exemplifies Bill Simmons' Ewing theory. You know, while he was here, especially those last couple of years, he was just receiving an inordinate amount of fan and media attention. There was clearly some sort of kind of bad blood that was going on. And, you know, especially in that last year, it started to feel like if we throw him another unsuccessful bubble screen, I'm just going to light myself on fire. And so, you know, he was very, very productive, a Pro Bowl player, maybe even a Hall of Fame player. But I think that sort of grief only becomes worth it when you're talking about a truly transcendent sort of game wrecker. And while I think he was near that level, in reality, I don't know that he ever really was the, you know, sort of Justin Jefferson, Tyreek, sort of like you can do or say anything you want because you are so undeniably better than everybody else on the field that will just get you your targets and will be successful because of your undeniable talent. So it, you know, when he left, I was thinking, like, of course our receiver room is not going to be better. He's a very good player. He's still very productive. But I don't know that his talent was so elite that it was worth some of that, you know, extracurricular stuff. So
yeah.
I also just wanted to mention that this to me is also just another microcosm of the NFL has gotten so quarterback top heavy that, you know, again, while other positions of course matter to a degree, if you've got one of the two or three, you know, basically Mahomes, Allen, and then maybe you could argue for, you know, Jackson or Stroud or whatever. But really, if you have Mahomes or Allen, you know, if there was no salary cap or if the salary cap was structured differently, those guys should account for 98% of it. They just have such a yeah. tremendous value add to the team that, not that it doesn't matter who you have throwing the ball to, but I think we're seeing that it just has a disproportionate place in the success of your team. So, yeah, I just wanted to throw that Ewing theory at you guys, and I wonder if you think we're actually a little less clogged up and maybe even a little more productive without that kind of pressure. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
I think it holds some water. I mean, I don't know. I don't think there has to be a definitive answer. There probably is one out there, but I don't know that we're ever going to uncover it. That's a part of the reason why there was always so much attention on him. Diggs and the Bills. I mean, the Bills created plenty of that on their own with McDermott last spring. Like that, it insisted you pay attention to it because it was an unsolved mystery. At least, we all had our guesses. We all heard things about this or that thing that happened late in the 22 season or whatever. But nobody that I know ever had definitively like a smoking gun. So where does that leave fans? It leaves fans asking questions amongst themselves. It leaves us asking questions amongst our media peers. It just allows for, it's just a bunch of questions. We're all, you know, this is a big Riddler suit. Just question mark, question mark, question mark, question mark.
I love a Riddler suit.
And so, you know, And again, the bill that wasn't all created by Diggs. I mean, he had his opportunities to put it out and never really got all the way there. You know, like asked about his brother, and he wouldn't say, I disapprove of him campaigning for me to get out of here. He would say different things, like, well, he's his own man or whatever. He would never disavow it. So it just was a cauldron. And, man, if I'm on that team... I don't say this as someone in the media who, like, you know, I'm here to talk about whatever's being talked about. I don't always love the subject matter, but I'm going to try to do the job the best I can and be as interesting and interested in it as I can. There got to be a bunch of people over there that just can't wait to get through week five. let's just get this, whatever's going to happen when we go down there, let's just get it over with, and we're done with Houston for the year. We'll still be paying attention, we will, out here, to what Diggs does and what the Bills receivers do, but I'll bet a lot of people will go,
well, it's a,
after week five.
It's a way to look at week four. A lot of the pressure comes off for all of that, if the Bills win in Baltimore. It's not like you ever have a game where you don't want to win, but if they win in Baltimore for 4-0, nobody's really thinking they're going to win them all. This was supposed to be a tough schedule. So you lose in Houston, you'll survive.
Right.
You could say the same thing at 3-2, but I think the pressure next week is on a different level if they lose the game to the Ravens. And it could get testy. I would expect that it does. You know, most of the media is there to kind of...
to facilitate?
Yeah, that's a good word. Not everybody, though. And there are good questions to ask about what happened. And they're not unfair. And these are not questions the Bills are going to really want to talk about. Our focus is on the game. You know, he's only one player. We loved having him. You'll hear a lot of that. But I don't know. There's just a better chance next week is more challenging if they lose this week in different ways. The question mark guy. So the Riddler, question marks.
Is this show ever sounded older? Yeah.
But what about, remember the question mark guy who on infomercials who had a book and he was always sort of screaming at you?
Yeah, glasses and like a blue suit with like yellow question marks all over it. Yeah.
Matthew Lesko.
Okay, sure. Yep, I remember the name.
Whatever happened to Matthew Lesko?
I don't know.
Question mark guy.
Yeah.
I wonder if when he started it was like, that's taken.
A suit with question marks all over it?
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
I guess he didn't worry about that.
I think as long as you don't call yourself the Riddler, you're probably okay there.
Why are you dressed up like the Riddler?
A brand standpoint.
Who's the Riddler? I might not even know who that is. I'm just a guy with a
percentage
jacket.
Of our audience right now who knows who the hell the Riddler is.
The Riddler will be known. The question mark guy will not be
a little
known.
More obscure. See, that's right, because the Riddler has been in the
The most recent Batman movie.
Okay, right.
The Riddler is very back.
I'm thinking of the TV show that I used to watch when I came home from school when I was 9.
I'm looking at a picture of the question mark guy. I think I could pull it off.
Oh, yeah.
I could pull off this look for Halloween.
If you pulled, there's enough similarities between that dude and Colonel Sanders. I think you can make that work.
First of all, it's the same suit, but this one has question marks all over it.
Right. Well, that's not hard to pull off.
I just take...
some fabric and just make some question marks.
I have the suit.
Glue them on there.
I just have to make some question marks.
His suit is a white suit? I didn't realize.
Well, this picture on Wikipedia is a white suit with question marks.
All right. I think you can make that work.
I think I will try. Brian is next. Hello, Brian.
Hey, Mike and Chris. One of the questions I had, and I listened to a segment you guys did earlier today where you're talking about, basically the conclusion was it's too early to kind of know anything at this point. But one of the questions I would have back to you guys is, at the very least, are we getting to the point where we trust Dorsey or Brady more than Dorsey? And I say that because what did the All-22 kind of reveal over and over about Dorsey's offense? One, it was pretty static. Two, a lot of mirrored concepts with the routes being mirrored on the outside, an over-reliance, I would say, on mesh. And then we would have constant debates on, did he have a check down option for Allen on that route? Mm-hmm. Well, I guess you saw one late. Versus now, you have 83% motion in week one. Dorsey or Brady has him going side to side. This defense is constantly having to declare. They're constantly going side to side. The ball's getting out. And now you've got like second and third running backs who have real roles on this team. You look at Dorsey's offense. I mean, Hardy had no role the entire year. Sherfield, absolutely no role. McKenzie fell off a wagon. Gabe Davis was a black hole of targets. And even, you know, obviously with Brady was too. So I would at least say it's early enough. Maybe it's early, but it's early enough for me to say, like, if you gave Brady a prime Stephon Diggs, I would trust him more than I would Dorsey. And yeah. I think by far he's distinguished himself over Dorsey. I mean, you look at what Cleveland, and they're following. They're having, yes, it's Watson, it's the O line, but he's holding the ball forever there. And what does that tell you? Everything down the field. I listen to their radio station. They're like, why are these routes so far down the field? So I think at least Brady gets that for me.
We'll see. I looked at Carolina Brady, and I mean, wasn't DJ Moore in his prime when he played for Carolina with Brady as the offense coordinator? And they didn't want to get the ball to him, it seemed. Like, I think the plan was to do this, and that's another reason why I thought there was all this evidence that I didn't know if it would work this well so far. I wouldn't have thought that it would have, but this is how they're going to play. This is the roster they wanted to build. They're willing to get Diggs off of it to that end. And so that aspect of it is not surprising. I do think whether it, quote, worked or not is a long way from being known. Last year, in week 3, the Bills won by 34 points. Diggs caught 8 for 111. And 8 other players caught at least a pass. What is it now? Blowout win. 10 guys catching passes. It's a dream. It is. Last year, it was 34-point win. 9 guys caught passes. Diggs went 8 for 11 within that.
111, yeah.
8 for 111. 8 for 11. Who's he, Kincaid? 8 for 111 within that. That is something to think about.
The thing I'm mostly encouraged about from Brady so far is that every week in an important moment, he has had 4th and 3 2 weeks in a row, really. It's a touchdown against Miami on the first drive. This week it's the first drive, but it's not a touchdown, but it's a 4th and 3 that picks up 10 or whatever to keep the drive going right around midfield or just very early in Jacksonville territory. He's had a design ready to just bust somebody wide open. Now, you still got to make the throw, and the throw has to be caught, right? I mean, Saquon Barkley dropped a game-clinching pass from Jalen Hurts that was right there. It was great design, open guy, but dropped it. I mean, it happens. But I'm seeing more evidence of design and thinking through, what are they going to do? What does our study tell us they're going to do in this situation? And what can we do that's going to, it feels a little like Andy Reid. It's early, but I just think there were signs last year that Brady could do that. He sprung Cook open a bunch of times late last year. He dropped a couple of them kind of embarrassingly. I think that's a very positive sign. Like, I feel like now, a lot of people are making this point. It's not my favorite point because it assumes a lot of things we don't know based on decisions McDermott made while both Dorsey or Daboll were his coordinator. But the lack of they're going for it. Midfield, first drive of the game, we're just going. I believe in my guy. I'm in these meetings. I know what he's got drawn up. I trust it's going to work. And that's a lot of faith in your quarterback, too, but I think it's a lot more faith in your play caller to spring something that will be easy button, and it's been easy button. And that is design. The best guys in the league get credit for that kind of stuff. Brady is pretty new at this, but if they keep going like this pretty consistently, I'm not going to win every game they play, and maybe he won't bust somebody wide open on some great design every week because that's not a bottomless pit of creativity, I assume. But he's going to start getting a lot of credit if they keep busting guys wide open for easy conversions on 4th downs or 3rd downs or whatever.
Bottomless pits of creativity. They're in abundance around here.
Mm-hmm.
803-0550. We'll talk some more after a short break. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog WGR.